So it was like, interesting. But these ones aren't near the projects, for instance. You were talking NYCHA. These were not near NYCHA. Some infill housing is nearby, perhaps. What gap are you filling with these locations, I guess, is the question.
I can take that. So the answer is, at this point in time, what we were looking to do is identify areas where the combination of demand and potentially what's available for the mobile carriers indicates that there's a need for additional infrastructure that will host mobile radios and or free Wi-Fi. Now, you're correct, there are lots of other areas further to the east in Community District 3, which have less coverage, and we haven't yet reached those areas in terms of Link 5G. But the process is one that is ongoing. You know, this is the deployment which we've restarted last year, but will continue for several years. The ultimate goal is to have 4,000 kiosks up from the existing 2,000. And it's not as if we're going to put them all in at once. We're putting them in across the city, but incrementally as demand requires. And I would expect over the next few years, we will reach those other areas of Manhattan 3 that you note that, you know, we haven't deployed to yet.
Thank you. Susan, go ahead.
I just wanted to answer Richard's question about the commercial overlay. It is considered anything that would be commercial can be commercial on the overlay.
Sorry, say that again, Susan.
If it's a commercial overlay, it allows anything commercial that would be allowed in a commercial on a commercial zone, commercially zoned street.
Okay, that clarifies it, because I disagreed with the gentleman who said that before. It's not a commercial district, it's a residential district with the overlay.
It's the way they're using the term zone. What we would say, it's commercial street. It's not a commercial street.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Wendy, and then Kenyelle.
Hello, thank you guys for coming in. My question is, like, if there's any plans to potentially replace the existing kiosks, like maybe like further down the line to the more efficient ones, so then that way there's less things cluttering the street, so to speak.
Yeah, I'll take that one. So, you know, we are currently engaged in the deployment of new sites as required by the franchise. But yes, over time, some number, not all of them, but some number of the existing kiosks will likely be converted to the Link 5G. Now, if you can remember the map we showed in the beginning, where you saw that very tight deployment of the existing kiosks, where they're very close to each other. As a result of that, you would not see Link 5G is deployed anywhere, anything like that. As I said, you can only put one on a street, on either side of the block, and you can't put any of them within 200 feet of the other. So while some of those existing 9.5-foot kiosks will be converted to Link 5Gs at some point over the next few years, I think most of those, tightly packed ones, are likely to stay in the existing form they are.
Thank you very much.
Kenyelle, go ahead, please.
Hi, so my question is, I don't know, I've heard some, you know, some theories that these towers aren't too healthy. What can you say about people who would say that these towers is like standing in front of a microwave, to say?
Well, I could say that it's nothing like standing in front of a microwave, for one. And, you know, just generally speaking, the impacts of cellular radios on health has been studied for decades, and is there are safety standards and limits set by the FCC, and that have been corroborated by the FDA and numerous other organizations, governmental and non-governmental, as being safe, within those limits. And all of the radios that are deployed are far below even those limits. So, while certainly I understand people have concerns about their health, as I do and everyone should, these towers don't pose a threat to public health.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Richard, you had another question?
Yes, thank you, Josh. It's been a while since I've thought of the concept of right of way. In my own life, I've become aware of the concept right of way as it pertained to railroads and the area adjacent to the tracks as they were constructed and went hither, thither, and wherever. And as the conversation has continued tonight, I'm thinking about, sure, street beds with buses and giving the right of taxis and et cetera, to use the city streets and the areas under the streets. But when you talk about sidewalks, I became aware of the issue a while back. I guess I knew of it, but I became more aware of it when a crack in the sidewalk caused a violation to be issued to my housing complex. And it was issued by the city of New York, and we were required to pay for it, to do the work and to pay for it.
I imagine Richard had more, but I believe he disconnected there. Sorry, Richard. Let's move on.
I think I know what he was going for there. Any flags that are broken as a result of the construction of a Link kiosk, the franchisee must fix it. I don't know where else he was going with that, but I know that the sidewalk is a complicated issue. I'm just not a particular expert on it, but if Richard comes back, and I'm happy to get more into that.
Sure. Great. Committee, do we have any other questions at this time before we open it up to public comment? Okay. So our speakers from OTI and City Bridge, of course, I'll ask you to stay on and listen here. But members of the public, please don't. This is just comment. This is not an open Q&A session, and I don't want to get into a back and forth. So with that said, attendees, please use the raise hand function. I'll just go in order. As you can see, we have quite a few people here. Let's just please try to keep the comments under 2 minutes or so, and then I'll cut you off. So just going down the list here. Susan Peters.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Can you hear me? Oh, I got it. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, great. Thank you. Thank you. I just want to tell the community that in 2021, the U.S. Appeals Court in Washington, D.C. ruled against the Federal Communications Commission, the federal agency in Washington that sets limits for emissions. Their limits were set in 1996 and have never been changed. So the court said basically this: listen, FCC, we've showed you 11,000 pages of scientific studies showing harm from health to the health of people from wireless radiation, most of it below your limits. You have to come back and tell us what are you going to do about it, because the FCC basically said, well, okay, I'm keeping my limits. Now, I'm upset because I live in a city and the city government should be protecting me. So I don't know why the representatives from our city government, from the technology, do not even read this stuff and say, listen, we have to look at this. Anyway, that's my comment.
Thank you.
Joshua, could I respond to that, please?
Sure. Let's see how it goes. But go ahead, please.
I'll be brief. The 2021 Court of Appeals decision, I believe that was referenced, in fact, explicitly accepted the FCC's methodology with respect to issues related to claims that the emission standards could result in cancer. The FCC's was upheld in that regard. With respect to non-cancer type health issues that had been raised by some of the petitioners, the FCC had relied on the FDA in its determination. And all the Court of Appeals did was says, hey, you can't rely on the federal, the FDA, so go back and redo your work. But it was not an assault on the limits. It was not an attack indicating that the 2019 reaffirmation of the limits set by the FCC were wrong. So I just wanted to make that clear. Thank you.
Thank you. Laura Lugo, go ahead, please.
Hi. I'm hoping that it's not a question and more of a comment, but I did notice that on the website it said that the purpose of these link towers is to enhance the coverage in underserved areas. And I would like to know, moving forward, are you considering possibly putting the link towers next to our public schools, which are constantly arguing for better Wi-Fi and having to deal with broadband issues? Second part to that is there any way to ease the fear of the community by putting up educational materials, so that way it'll ease the anxiety of it possibly being like radiation and cancer? And third, and I'm sorry, Joshua, is are you hiring from within the community for repairs and the upkeep of the link towers? Thank you.
Laura, you know those were questions, but we
I know.
We
I was trying to put in the chat.
It's okay. We only have a few hands raised, so I would appreciate an answer on those if you guys can do so. Thank you.
Well, I'll answer the second and third. Why don't you cover the first, Rob, regarding locations near public schools? So in terms of education, we are actively engaged in outreach and trying to find ways to better educate the community on all kinds of issues, including digital literacy, and that's one of our primary focuses and how to use the technology. But given a lot of the questions that we've gotten recently through forums like this, which we really appreciate about health, we're looking for how can we share more good information about that as well. And as far as hiring from within the communities, yes, absolutely. In fact, we have open positions. If you know people looking for jobs, particularly in the areas of maintenance and cleaning, if you would direct them to us, that would be great, because we need to hire folks, and we're trying to hire more. We would love for them to be from the communities, and many of them, in fact, maybe all of them already are.
And if you could just put your contact info for someone from your organization in the chat, that would be great. And then just that, I think, Robert, you had an answer to that other question.
Yes, we don't, in terms of where we are deploying the kiosks, I believe one of the sites, the one at 57 Avenue A, is in fact across the street from the school.
Thank you.
Can I make a comment?
Who is this?
Rose. I live in the community, and I don't live too far away from a tower.
Absolutely, I'll just put you on the end of the stack here. I'm sorry. Just one moment, please. I have from the public Theodora Scarato. Two minutes, please.
Hi. you so much. So I'm executive director of Environmental Health Trust, and that court case that's being discussed, our organization was lead petitioner. I also was an individual petitioner. And I'm afraid that's a mischaracterization of the case, because the ruling was that the FCC has been ordered to respond specifically to address the issues that it ignored in our case. There were 11,000 pages of evidence, and they need to respond to issues regarding long-term exposure. They need to respond to issues regarding children's vulnerability, damage to the brain, and also damage to reproduction and so forth. And if you listen to the oral arguments in our case, you can hear the judges say things like this. They said, how do you know long-term exposure is safe? Where do you have the evidence of that? And the FCC simply could not respond. And they said, you need to have an authority. Because the question that everyone should be asking right now is, where is the safety review that our federal government should be doing? And the reality is, they have done no such review for over 20 years. In fact, the limits that we have, which were set in 1996, are based on standards developed in 1991 and 1986 report of NCRP. So if you want to put information up, that's great. And I really think there needs to be a full discussion where we can sort of have a real discussion, not this 2 minutes, so that there can be, you know, people can have this information. The problem is that the federal government has unfortunately completely dropped the ball, and that's what's happened here. There's been no review. The EPA was defunded from even doing monitoring. The question I have that I hope everyone on the call who's listening have is, where are the radio frequency radiation compliance reports? Because if there are 2,000 of these installations, then where are those reports showing that there is compliance with our obsolete FCC limits, which are out of date? And by the way, these limits don't protect against long-term exposure. They are not set to protect against long-term exposure. There never was studies on long-term exposure in 1996 when the limits were set. So they are for short-term, high-intensity, high levels of microwaves that cause overheating. That's what they're set to protect against.
Sorry to cut you off, but that is 2 minutes, and we have a few to get through. And just a reminder that the agenda item we're here to discuss tonight, thank you, Theodore, for your comment. Just to be clear, is the siting of these 7 Link NYC kiosks. Just to be clear. Obviously, we can talk about the bigger issues, and we have some experts on it here, but we're here to, I'm sorry, the 6 sites now in the neighborhood is this specific agenda item at hand. I have Will Harlow next. Go ahead, please, Will.
Hi, can you hear me all right? Great. Just super quick, more of a just like a information question. Is the franchise agreement publicly accessible for the CityLink deployment? Cool. Could one of you drop it in here? If not, just point me in the direction.
I'll put it in the chat right now.
Cool. I figure most of my questions can be answered just by reading the document. So thanks.
Thank you. Laura Sewell, go ahead, please. You're there you go.
Hi, thank you. So one comment just regarding the whole process is that I saw on the map the existing Link kiosks and the new proposed sites. I don't see existing 5G towers that have already been installed in the neighborhood. And I think it would be helpful to the community and to the community board to view those so the whole project can be seen in context. I know we have one. We have a couple that sort of appeared. I don't know if they went through this process or not, but folks like me who are regular attendees at the community board and several of our local bloggers were just startled when they appeared. So if, I don't know if this is a new process, I'm glad you're doing it, because we certainly should have input on the sites. And then in historic districts, not in a commercial overlay, I understood that there was an additional level of consideration or oversight, and I'm not clear on what that was, if someone can provide clarification. And is there any opportunity to re-examine existing Link kiosk sites, that the old ones, that are causing an impingement on the pedestrian circulation because open restaurants and sidewalk cafes have sprung up sort of after they were installed. It may not have been a problem before, but it is now. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. I'm going to ask our presenters just to not just to keep moving forward, maybe we'll come back around to some of those questions at the end. Alan Muimon, go ahead, please.
Yeah. Okay. So first, I want to say that I think that overall, these towers are going to be better used to public space than something like free parking for cars, especially as they expand into areas near, for example, the public housing, and you know, as the previous person mentioned, potentially schools, other areas of opportunity. I am, as the previous speaker mentioned, concerned about getting in the way of pedestrian circulation, especially in areas like Chinatown, which has notoriously tight walkways. I think that one on Broadway specifically, based on the photos, looked a bit tight. So I'd urge you to consider that. And then more broadly, I want to encourage future development of these to expand beyond like the normal approaches. You know, consider more creative positioning, like, I don't know, corner sidewalk bump outs next to bike parking. If we really want to reduce traffic violence across the city with a built environment that encourages drivers to slow down naturally, we should be, you know, thinking creatively and getting businesses like the one behind Link NYC to pay for other infrastructure upgrades that counter any of the, you know, potential health risks that people are concerned about with the towers by actually like potentially saving lives by reduced traffic violence. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Let's see here. Laura Sewell spoke, right? Great. Moving along to Odette Wilkins. Go ahead, please, Odette.
Yes, hi, thank you. I'm a technology attorney, and I think technology is great when it doesn't harm people, but I do draw the line when it starts to harm people. And the adverse public health effects of this, and this has been noted in other community boards who have disapproved or who have declared moratoria against these Link 5G towers. Now, there's been no pre-market testing of 5G. The U.S. Senator Blumenthal of Connecticut, during a hearing of telecom executives, established that there was no pre-market testing. The WHO's International Agency for Research on Cancer classified wireless radiation as a possible human carcinogen back in 2011. A study in 2000 commissioned by one of the major telecom carriers found links to cancer, leukemia, neurological disorders, and cognitive impairment with a special caution for children. And also, the Firemen's International Association of Firefighters published a resolution opposing the placement of cell towers near fire stations and calling for a moratorium because they found that they had experienced headaches, memory loss, sleeping and neurological disorders, so much so that they had delays in reaction time and difficulty in actually finding where the fire was. There was severe disorientation among a number of the firefighters. So, and there was also a New Hampshire commission that studied the health effects of wireless radiation, and they found that levels below the FCC emission limits can be harmful. Now, with respect to the law, there's a major federal case in New York that came down last year and basically said that unless the telecom carriers can prove evidence that there is a significant gap in service and they're using the least intrusive means possible, they have no right to come into our neighborhoods. And that is federal law in New York. And I think that New York City should really comply with that law. In addition, in terms of the digital divide, the U.S. Accountability Government Accountability Office indicated that 5G is likely to exacerbate the digital divide. And also the National Digital Alliance indicated that the that underserved people and unserved people are probably unlikely to be able to even afford a 5G phone. So that argument also crumbles.
Sorry to cut you off, but there are your 2 minutes and then some. Thank you, Odette, for your comments. I believe this person, you had your hand raised earlier, is calling in on the phone.
Yeah, Rose.
Hi, Rose. Yes, go ahead.
Hi.
Well, I would like to just state that I know that I have, anytime I get near these towers, I end up with a massive headache. I also would like to point out that I have to walk around with an EMF tester to see how much radiation is being omitted from the tower. I also would like to point out that because if this tower is close to, it's right across the street from a public school, and for some reason, the high school students are reacting, or something is going on, because there seems to be more violence going on around these towers. And on top of that, I can't even have Wi-Fi inside of my apartment, because if I want to take green bananas and make sure that they ripen, all I have to do is put the green bananas close to the Wi-Fi box in my apartment, and 3 feet away, and just wait an hour or so for they could start to ripen. So if it does that to bananas, imagine what it's doing to our whole neurological system. I just want somebody to do some testing on how it affects the kids. Why are the children acting so violent these days from the high schools? Why is it that people are almost starting, when they go near these towers, they start to twitch? And then when I usually go with my EMF tester, for some reason, at that moment, it starts to blink red and starts going dee, 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 which means that there's something there that's making.
Thank you, Rose. Sorry to cut you off. That is 2 minutes. I see no other hands from the public. So I'm going to bring it back to committee. I have two questions that have come up from all this. I'm wondering if you can talk a bit about the siting specifics within historic districts. Just as far, maybe how that procedure differs from the broader commercial zoned districts.
I can answer that question. It's the front end of the process is quite similar. So before, if we were to site a Link 5G kiosk in a historic district, what would happen is we would nevertheless present the site to the community district. But then after that process, we would have yet a separate review with the Landmarks Preservation Commission. We have not yet brought any of the Link 5G sites that we're proposing in historic districts to the Landmark Preservation Commission. So we still have to work out that process with them, but there will be an additional layer of review for any sites that are located in a historic district.
Okay. And then just the other question, and I question how much time I want to give to this, but I mean, it came up a number of times is you know, health and safety concerns, and I know you cited, I guess, can you speak to some of the science on your end that would you know, support that would oppose a lot of the concerns that clearly some community members have, because obviously this is tested, and hopefully you can speak to it better than I can.
Well, I'll jump in there and do my best. I mean, I'll note that none of us on the call are scientists, so we're, I think, going to do our best to summarize a complicated landscape as best we can. So, you know, as I mentioned, the FCC sets limits that are based on scientific study. Those, contrary to some statements, have been reviewed repeatedly over the years by the FCC. The FDA has also looked into this. And, you know, I was just reading earlier today an FDA review of published literature on studies from 2008 through 2018. You know, I think one of the main things that I think is a misconception that people have about cellular radios is The amount of power emitted by them relative to where you are and relative to the radio itself, and the cellular radios don't. Your exposure to the radio frequencies from them is far, far, far lower than the FCC limits. Like on the scale of small cells, like we're likely to install in the Link 5Gs. At street level, you're in the 1 to 2% or so. We haven't actually installed these yet, so we can't provide actual numbers. Though we will be able to do that when we do. But in the single digit percentages of the FCC limits, so far below those limits, and those limits are really set for the cell phones themselves, which are radios you're carrying around in your pocket. And that you're exposed to much higher levels in terms of the intensity of the radio frequencies from the cell phone than you ever would be from the radios that are being installed in the streets.
Thank you. I have Michelle and then Susan, and then we'll see what we want to do from there.
Thanks, Josh. I just wanted to say I'm deeply, deeply concerned about becoming a platform for disinformation by doing this. I'm going to say I do anti-disinformation work in my real life, and I would like YouTube to flag this video and take it down for anti-5G disinformation. It's not a good service to promote conspiracy theories that none of us are really equipped to debunk live, and I hope that we do not do this in the future. Perhaps we can have people write emails to us, but I do not think that we should become a platform for disinformation, which I fear is what we became this evening, because most people do not talk about the sighting, and it is very, very dangerous, and we as a public entity have a responsibility to be truthful and factual, and I do not think that that's what happened this evening. So thanks.
Thank you, Michelle. Susan.
Sure. I wanted to ask about the local hiring. Are you working with Workforce One, and have you connected at all with our Lower East Side Employment Network?
I would have to defer that to the HR department. I know we work with a number of different organizations, but if you could send on contact information or a link, I'd be happy to pass that on and make sure that we are.
Sure, I'll go through Stacy. We have a network of all the local workforce groups in one network to make it easy for you. So I'll go through Stacy to make those contacts. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Be wonderful.
Thank you, and thank you again to our presenters. So here, committee, we can talk about what to do next. We do not need to write a resolution, and we can talk about whether there's even merit in doing so. No agency has asked us for a resolution. And my instinct is that we do not need one. Does anyone have any thoughts here on process or on any of these sites specifically? Which are, let me share, let me pull up. So these are the, you can see the six sites. Does anyone have thoughts on these committee? July?
Out of the six sites, I really think the one on Grant Street, the first one, 263 Grant Street, is not appropriate. It is right by the D train and the B train entrance and exit. And already on both sides of Grant Street on that block, the sidewalks are not wide enough. And you have a park entrance on each side of the sidewalk. I don't think that's an appropriate sighting.
Thank you. And I know you've touched on this, Rob, but tell me one more time, as far as proximity to subways, I know there is some guidance in the sighting restrictions. What can you speak to that?
You know, there is there's a couple different things. One, in terms of sidewalk space, we have to have at least
8 feet of sidewalk passage to ensure that we're not overly crowding the sidewalks. There is a siting criteria that we need to be a certain number of feet away from the subway entrance, but I don't recall it off the top of my head. I think it's not allowed to be immediately there, but we could follow up with that for you.
I have that in another tab. Per year, I believe it's 15 feet from an outdoor or elevated subway entrance, which obviously this
It's 15 feet from the subway or 3 feet from a subway grade. 15 feet from a subway entrance is correct.
Okay. Which I mean this would meet, but heard July. Thank you.
Sorry, which site was that again?
Well, that was the Grand Street, the 263 Grand.
Gotcha. Okay.
I'm just curious. I'm just pulling it up on a map because I can't picture off the top of my head. Oh yeah, that's the block of Christie, like the park.
It's the one right on Sour Roosevelt Park.
Gotcha.
Sort of the cross street in between it.
Okay. Committee, any other site specific comments or discussion? Great. So then the question becomes, what do we want to do, if anything?
Josh, Richard, having listened to this discussion and the response of my fellow community board members who are present, I have a funny feeling that we would go with your instinct about there being nothing necessary for this board to do at this point. And we would reserve the right to comment on it in the near future. Next month, 6 months, whenever the issue raises its head again.
To my knowledge, this is the first time that this has come before the board, certainly since I've been on this committee. And I don't want to set a precedent that we are approving or disapproving of, you know, our share of 4,000, you know, sites. There are extensive siting guidelines, like we've discussed, and you know, when things may come up to move them, like we can discuss the Grand Street site July, if you know, if there's specific guidance we want. But I does anyone disagree with that? That barring something specific to a particular site, there's nothing we should do here.
I agree.
We should. Great. Thank you. Leah, I see you nodding your head. Welcome. Nice to see you. Okay. Does anyone share in July's concerns about that particular site? Just
a question for July. Actually, this is on the south side of Grand Street, so it's not right next to the subway station entrances. If it was right next to the subway station entrances and exits, I would have greater concern. So while the south side is not particularly as wide, it's certainly not as narrow as the north side where the subway entrance and exit is.
Great. Go ahead, John.
Certainly, but, you know, an alternative siting nearby the park, whether it's on Christie or Forsyth, would be, you know, much better in terms of pedestrian flow and safety.
July, do you want to introduce a motion that we can talk about?
No, I don't think we need to at this point, because we decided we're not going to do anything.
Perfect. Unless anyone on the committee has anything further, I think we can leave it there. Thank you so much to our presenters from OTI and CityBridge. That was very informative. And I really appreciate you guys taking the time. I hope you'll take our comments and our community's comments into account. And we look forward to talking with you further on this. Thank you for the work that you're doing to, you know, spread technology throughout the city. We appreciate it. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate
it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks, guys. Okay, great. All that talk and no resolution. How about that? Nothing to show for it. Moving right along to our second agenda.